You're about to hear a digitized message from the Lutheran Hour. All rights on the program and its copyrighted content are reserved by the International Lutheran Layman's League. Permission was granted for Concordia Theological Seminary to digitize this message. For more information on the Lutheran Hour, or for questions about special uses of this material, go to lhm.org or call 1-800-876-9880.
What do you think? Is there going to be a final day of judgment? Some people don't think so. Stay tuned and hear what the Bible says about this important subject.
Bringing Christ to the nations, the Lutheran Hour. International Lutheran Layman's League is pleased to present a recorded transcript of a recent Lutheran Hour sermon by the Reverend Wallace Schultz, Associate Lutheran Hour Speaker. It is our prayer that it will bring hope and joy to your life.
Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, to Thee alone be given all glory and honor. May Thy holy will be made known unto all people everywhere. In a day when immorality and unrighteousness is being accepted as a way of life, according to Thy promise, O Lord, may Thy Spirit convict the world of sin. Hold before us always Thy promise of forgiveness and mercy. Lead us to a life of repentance and trust in Thee. In Jesus' precious and powerful name we pray. Amen. A few years ago, living together outside of marriage was considered wrong and sinful. Today, however, for many people, there has been a dramatic change of attitude. Living together is now routinely featured in newspapers and discussed on television talk shows, with as much candor as the evening news and the weather report. A grandmother who recently reflected on this new immorality was quoted in the newspaper as saying, "Frankly, I never batted an eye about my 18-year-old granddaughter living with her boyfriend for over a year before they were married." After hearing the words of this grandmother and also observing the casual indifference exhibited by many of those now living a life of sin and immorality, it is certainly obvious to see why many people today consider acceptable what was called sin only a few years ago. Individuals of every age, economic background, and religious persuasion are now being swept along by the new wave of licentious and unrighteous living. Is it any wonder that today, young people, many of them coming from Christian homes, are totally confused? If you have been tempted to believe that it makes no difference how one lives, that what we do is our own business, and that we will never be held accountable for our actions, listen closely. Throughout the Bible, God has warned that there will be a final day of judgment. It is described by St. Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 when he says, "We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ." Speaking of the coming day of judgment, Jesus said, "There is nothing covered up that will not be revealed, and hidden that will not be made known." Accordingly, Jesus said, "Whatever you have said in the dark will be heard in the light, and what you have whispered in the inner room shall be proclaimed from the housetops." As we continue the new decade of the 80s, let us not be conformed and carried along by the standards of an increasingly self-centered and pleasure-seeking society. As we experience the new pressures to adopt a new morality, let us first meditate on the picture of Judgment Day painted in the Bible. The Bible proclaims that on the final day, the Son of Man, Jesus, shall send forth his angels, and they shall gather out of his kingdom all things that offend, and them which do iniquity, and shall cast them into a furnace of fire. There shall be wailing and gnashing of teeth. Then, Jesus said, shall the righteous shine forth as the sun in the kingdom of the Father. He who has ears, Jesus said, let him hear. To speak of a final day of judgment in our generation seems old-fashioned. To many people it appears naive and unintellectual. But to those who realize by faith that God is all-knowing and that he cannot tolerate any type of sin whatsoever, these individuals understand that every sinful act and every foolish word will have to be accounted for. No wonder, as he looked back over his life, the psalmist cried out, O Lord, remember not the sins of my youth. No, don't let the devil trick you into taking Judgment Day lightly. You and I will be there. Everyone who has ever lived in the history of the world will be present, including all atheists. For centuries, the Christian Church has confessed with boldness and certainty that Jesus shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead. That day will come without warning. It will be very much like the airplane disaster in Saudi Arabia several months ago. The pilot said, we congratulate the passengers for the safe landing. We are now trying to open the door to let out the passengers. All at once, without warning, the plane was completely engulfed in flames. There was no chance for escape. 301 people died, the third worst disaster in aviation history. With the same quickness, the final day of judgment will occur. The Bible states in 1 Corinthians that it will be like the twinkling of an eye. Oh, I know how judgmental I may seem as I speak to you today on the coming judgment. But as a preacher committed to proclaiming the Word of God in season and out of season, may I plead with you this very moment to re-examine your relationship to God. Does a relationship even exist? Or are you separated from your loving Father because of your persistence in your sin? When young men and women enter college, they frequently find themselves involved in evening and late-night discussion sessions. As they discuss, they often venture an opinion. One question that pops up again and again is, what do you think of God? Ladies and gentlemen and young people, as you listen today, the question is not what we think of God. The real question is, what does God think of us? And the answer to this eternally important question will not be provided by transcendental meditation. It will not flow from the lips of any cultic leader. It will not result from any mystical experience. And it will not proceed from those churches and preachers that have abandoned the studying and preaching of the pure Word of God. I am sure that even you are wondering what God thinks of you at this very moment. Just remember that no matter what your background has been, God is looking at your life today with compassion and love and mercy. You are very important and special to Him. You are included in His holy will that no one should perish eternally. Our sins, your sins and mine, have offended God's holiness. That is why He cannot tolerate any type of sin. That is why, even if every living person on earth condoned fornication and adultery, it would still be wrong in the sight of God. Oh, how we should thank God every day that He demonstrated His love toward us in that, while we were yet sinners, His Son Jesus died for us. Let us earnestly pray that God the Holy Spirit would convict all those now living in sin of their wayward life. Oh, that the kindness of God, proclaimed in the Holy Scriptures, would lead many to repentance. when you realize that your life and attitude is not what it should be? Let the love and grace of your forgiving Heavenly Father change you. Don't continue in your sinful stubbornness any longer. Follow the example of King David, who confessed unto the Lord. "I have sinned greatly in what I have done," David said. "But now, O Lord, please take away the iniquity of thy servant, for I have acted very foolishly." If you are like most other people, your conscience keeps reminding you of past things you have done wrong, careless words you have spoken, and even bad thoughts you have had. But please, may I beg you, on the basis of God's promise of mercy to you, from this moment, live no longer in regret and with a stained and troubled conscience. Believe the central message of the Bible. God is speaking to you today through the prophet Isaiah when he says, "I, even I, am the one who wipes out your transgressions for my own sake, and I will not remember your sins." When Jesus hung on the cross of Calvary, he was suffering for your sins. When Jesus cried out, "It is finished," he died for your sins. Jesus Christ died for all your sins. His innocent blood has washed all your sin and guilt away. Your sins are totally and completely paid for. You may feel that God is angry with you for the life you have lived, but listen closely as I read to you from the Bible. "And when you were dead in your transgressions, he made you alive, having forgiven us all our transgressions. He has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross." Even if other people, perhaps some of your old friends and buddies, remind you of your past sins, even if the devil tries to haunt you with guilt, always remember to claim the powerful promise of the Bible recorded in Romans chapter 8, which says, "Who will bring a charge against God's elect?" The answer is, God is the one who justifies. Men may try to remind you of your sins, but when God declares your sins are forgiven, you are forgiven. Yes, may your troubled conscience be soothed and your anxious heart be comforted by God's mercy. I do not say you are forgiven by my own authority. I am proclaiming to you what is recorded in God's Word, the Bible. The first verse of the 8th chapter of the book of Romans is God's message to you today. Memorize it. This is what it says. "There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." The society in which we live, and even we ourselves, may change in our attitude toward sin. What was considered sin yesterday, in light of the Bible's clear teachings, may today meet with our approval. But God and His Word do not change. His warning against conforming to the ways of the world does not change. His love does not change. He is constantly loving and full of mercy. For the Bible reminds us in 1 John chapter 1, if we confess our sins, God is just and faithful to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In his regular newspaper column, a doctor recently stated that it is now out of style to speak of sin. He said that society prefers to use the word sickness because it prevents feelings of guilt. The doctor added that the deliberate avoidance of the word sin is obviously related to the movement in our culture away from religion and toward science for its underlying belief system. Oh, how the devil would like to encourage us to avoid accepting the responsibility for our own wrongdoing, sinfulness, and outright rebellion toward God. Yet the Bible clearly warns, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we say that we have not sinned, we make God a liar and His Word is not in us. In Flensburg, the northernmost city of West Germany, there is a building which contains the registrations of all who hold a driver's license. It also contains a special file section called the Sinner's File, which records traffic violations of all drivers throughout the country. According to a recent newspaper story, the mere mention of the name of the city Flensburg instills fear in the hearts of many citizens. Though they may not be Christian, they realize that their traffic offenses were acts of wrongdoing. Even most unbelievers tend to call wrongful acts sins. The fear of the motorists whose names are in the sinner's file is not permanent. If they drive for 2 years without an additional violation, their records are destroyed. The regular cleaning of the sinner's file is great news for the offending motorists. In the same way, sinners who realize by faith that their sins have been washed away by the blood of Jesus also rejoice. Judgment Day is not a very comforting thought for many people. Even the most benevolent and law-abiding individuals realize how far short they come of what God expects of them. Perhaps as you stop for a moment to consider your life, you realize in your heart that you have spoken evil of others. You have teased your spouse. You have placed your material possessions ahead of God. You have failed to meditate on His Word daily. Truly, we daily sin much and deserve only God's wrath and eternal punishment. But don't despair. If we are honest, you and I must admit that we have been unable to live a perfect life, a life acceptable to God. That is precisely why Jesus, out of love for us, came to this earth to live a perfect life. He did this for you and for me. The Bible teaches that God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, in order that He might redeem those who were under the law. Jesus placed Himself under the law so that He could live the perfect life we were unable to live. Jesus not only lived a perfect life for us, He also died in our place. The prophet Isaiah proclaimed, "He was pierced through for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Yes, by His wounds we have been healed." We must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. These are the direct words of the Holy Scriptures. And God's call to repentance is not directed only to those who are involved in living together outside of marriage. God is not only concerned about sins of sexual immorality, He is just as concerned about people who tell white lies, about children who disobey their parents and teachers, about those who cheat on income tax, and those who fail to report all of their income. God's holy wrath is directed against the sins of those who violate the speed limit on the highways, those who gossip about others, and those who fail to help their neighbors in need. Simple honesty forces even the most self-righteous and church-going people to a life of repentance. We must all confess, "O Lord, please have mercy on me, a poor, miserable sinner." Even honest clergymen must confess with St. Paul, "The good that I wish, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not wish." No, you and I do not sin only occasionally. Within us lies a constant desire to rebel against God. We daily sin much. We are by nature sinful. We are in need of God's love and forgiveness every day. When we confess our sins and trust in the redeeming power of the blood of Jesus Christ, when we rest in the Savior's outstretched arms of love and forgiveness, then Judgment Day will hold no fear for us. Instead, we will look forward to that day as Jesus promised in the Gospel of Luke chapter 21. Listen to the words of Jesus as I read them directly from the Bible. "And then they will see the Son of Man, Jesus, coming in a cloud with power and great glory. But when these things begin to take place," Jesus said, "straighten up and lift up your heads, because your redemption is drawing near. Yes, the conscience reminds even those who don't believe in God that someday there will be a final judgment. The Bible proclaims with clarity, power, and authority that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. But don't let this trouble you. Your sins are forgiven. Avoid the terror of judgment day. Make the forgiveness Jesus earned for you yours. Trust completely in Him. Then look to judgment day with great eagerness and expectation, for your redemption, your salvation, your joy is drawing near. On that day, you will see Jesus face to face. Amen.